Hi guys, how's your week going? Glad to be with you again. Hope everything's going well. This is Lost Arts Radio Live for December 21st, 2019, which of course you know if you're listening live, but for the people that are listening to the archives, you found the one from the 21st of December, and one more show after this, and that'll be the end of shows for 2019. It went really fast, I would say. Very important year for a lot of things happening in the world, and not that everything's bad, but it's a big year of progress for all the programs connected to Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030 and the milestones that they wanted to meet before 2020. Total march towards socialism and removable of all the unsustainable freedoms, like getting to live your life the way you want to. So all the unsustainable things like getting to buy your house and your car and travel freely and defend yourself and the usual stuff. So that's one of the main things that we're looking at is how do we counter that and get that to turn around? And before we get too much further, remember that in case we ever talk about anything at all controversial, which could happen theoretically, go to lostartsradio.com and sign up for the mailing list if you want to, because it's a way we can stay in touch with you in case we're suddenly not on any of these platforms. And Doug has set up a number to text, a name and an email address to get on that mailing list. It's not for sending you a bunch of junk. It's just so that if we get cut off, we can still send, embedded videos or newsletters or things like that. And that text number is 928-325-4676, or you can email info@lostartsradio.com with the same request, a name and an email address, and you'll be on there. We're not really doing that now, but we'll have it available in case we need it. The other thing is to remember our Brighteon channel, and they just opened up a new feature where you can actually subscribe like you do on the big channels on Brighteon. So the channel to go to on Brighteon for us is brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. And there's more and more of the really good shows on Brighteon as people discover it. And it's a non-censoring platform. So I think it's important to su support it, which you don't have to give them a bunch of money. You just go there and use it. Watch videos on Brighteon when you can. And if you're a content creator, you can put up videos on Brighteon. That gets them more traffic and helps them survive. And Mike's really done a great job with it, I think. And the features are increasing as we go on. So let me see, what else did I want to say by way of introduction here? I told you about the progress toward Agenda 2021, 2030, and they have all kinds of sub-agendas set on 2020, which starts in a few days, from what I've heard. And things like Healthy People 2020 and things that all sound really good. I mean, who's against being healthy, right? And wonderful things for children and all that. The only problem is that when you get past the title, it's not really totally a nice thing. And they're trying to get rid of anything that they call unsustainable, pretty much everything that you'd like to do and have freedom in your life. So, all that would be okay as a sci-fi movie, but the problem is that that's the real plan to, wipe out life on the planet, which I don't think is a very good idea. So, my interest in knowing about all that stuff is not just to say, oh, this terrible stuff is all going on, but that's not even interesting unless you can use it to work on solutions, which is what we're focused on doing. And before I get much farther, I wanted to tell you I did talk to Doug a little bit about analytics. We're still going to go into it further, but there's a huge group of listeners that really is amazing, and they listen. They're the listeners that listen to a show for less than 3 seconds. I didn't even know that's, even possible for very many people without really being set to turn it off right when it turns on, but they do. And it's a very popular length of time to listen. I don't think that they're not liking the content because there's not that much content in 3 seconds. But so I was thinking of, what can I tell all the listeners that we have who listen for less than 3 seconds? And my chipmunk speed talking is not really that great, you know, because in 3 seconds they could get a whole show and then expand it, you know, afterwards electronically. But I'm not good at that. So I guess all I could say is like lostartsradio.com, subscribestar.com/lostartsradio, brightion.com, and planetaryhealingclub.com. But even that took more than 3 seconds. So, and that besides being more than 3 seconds, I don't know which 3 seconds they're listening to. So I don't have a good plan to reach them. But for the rest of everybody who could listen, you know, even longer than 3 seconds, last week we talked about the top 10 groups of people that could help to save the world. And I had all these bullet points about the groups, and I got through half of them. So I thought we could try to finish that off. And the ones that I talked to before included groups like big tech and media that people normally think are going to only do damage, which is a lot of what they're doing right now. I mean, some of them have a fantastic collection of videos, billions of videos that if you want to learn how to sew or set up a lumber mill or learn to do archery or something, they're great. But the censorship thing is really kicking into gear now and getting going. But we talked about how they could, people within that industry, the big tech and social media, could actually have this massive effect on helping society in general anywhere in the world. That was last week. And same thing with medical professionals. You know, on the surface and in emergency medicine and trauma care and things like that, they're heroic, like almost superhuman medical professionals and personnel, and they're great. But with respect to health, they're a total disaster. And when the toxic and invasive treatments become mandatory, as is happening in California, New York, and other places in the country, and it's trying to spread out all over the world right now, then it's not so good. They're doing massive harm, killing a lot of people, getting everybody addicted to multiple medical drugs, which are, they're called medicine, unfortunately. They're allowed to do that, but they're just toxic chemicals, and they're tested for very thoroughly for toxicity before they're put into medicine, but they're not tested for toxicity to avoid it. That's what you might think if you were like a normal person. They're tested for toxicity, according to Dr. Labo and others, so that they'll be as toxic as possible and help the medical model. And then the doctors mostly don't know about any of this stuff. They're not to blame for it. They don't even know what's in things they inject into your body for the most part. So they've just memorized a bunch of stuff. But the people at the top and the doctors generally trust the drug company representatives, which is a horrible idea, but they're trained to do that. The people at the top, as in all these organizations, know what they're doing. And those people are in a position not just to do great harm, but actually to reverse course and do the opposite. So we talked about that last week, and also about teachers and professors that, you know, have changed from being real teachers to being trained to be facilitators of programs that are turned out by computers and AI and malicious rulers at the top of the educational systems of the world. And if they became real teachers again, teaching from their own wisdom, and of course they'd have to learn before they could teach, which is might be a little sidetracked for some of them, but they could really change the consciousness of the kids growing up. So I said they could be a great heroic group for the world. Same thing with number 7 last week. Coming up from number 10 was the farmers and the biotech people and everybody in the ag industry that has been going more and more towards synthetic chemicals and even organic, the organic classification they're working on, watering that down literally. I mean, for example, allowing hydroponic growing to be called organic, which is really bad. There's no way that plants grown in water with chemicals, even if they're called natural chemicals, can be anywhere close to the like incredibly complex ecosystem of the soil that was actually designed for a reason, very well designed. And now you can't tell from the labels. I've talked to the Department of Agriculture, and they're labeling it so that you can't tell the difference. And because you can make so much more money growing plants in water with chemicals than you can bothering with something like soil, which actually takes work, I suspect that it's going to go more and more toward hydroponics, which means you're going to have to get, if you care about health aspects and health effects of what you put in your body, which if you don't care about that, then you just blindly get the results, which is not fun. You're going to have to talk to the suppliers, get in touch with farmers, local growers, and it's going to have to get more locally centered. We talked about that. And also last, number six, was the telecom industry that is really busy setting up the global catastrophe of 5G right now, making believe that it's wonderful. I've seen commercials that all the big companies are putting out saying how convenient and great it's going to be. It's not great except for generating money, but that's not even the reason it's being done. Contrary to popular opinion, it's being done on a level above money. Same reason everything else is being corrupted. And people within that industry, by telling the truth, and I've talked to a lot of them who are just kind of following orders, if they find a way to get the real information out, that they would become really positive influences for the way society is going right now. And this week, number five, same thing with military, I was going to say, and law enforcement officers, if you're in the police forces or sheriffs especially. And the sheriffs, there's a great organization called the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association that I really recommend anybody interested in that look into. I think it's at, from memory, cspoa.org. Started by Richard Mack, I think, who was a great sheriff who actually understood and promoted. See, the sheriff is the highest law enforcement officer in the county. And since there's county, at least in America, there may be similar things in some other countries, but he was looking at the United States in particular and found that the sheriff has these amazing powers. He can kick agents who are acting unconstitutionally out of the counties, even federal officers and things like that. Most sheriffs don't know about that, but they actually can do that. And the police officers could act according to basic human rights that come from God as well, which in America is called constitutionally. But even the American founding documents verify that those rights belong to you no matter what country you live in. You don't have to move to America to get your basic rights that you were born with. So if military, too, if they followed that same principle, they would not obey unconstitutional orders to go and massacre people, invade countries illegally and immorally, and do anything that wasn't for real defense. That would change the world. So any of those people who found ways to, you know, spread the idea of acting according to their real role, which should be defense and not aggression and destruction. There's a group that was started, speaking of CSPOA.org, there is another great group that you've probably heard of called Oath Keepers, and they have a site also that you could look at called oathkeepers.org. Wonderful group. And they're saying that for military and law enforcement in particular, and I think other people who want to be supportive, they're having the members sign an agreement or make a pledge that they will not follow unconstitutional orders no matter what. So it reminds me of the old bumper sticker in the 60s that when I was a university student, last century, it was a while ago, and the bumper sticker said something like, "What if they gave a war and nobody came?" Which I think would be great. You know, wars may be necessary to defend your country if it just gets attacked. But that's not the same as going around the world and invading countries and the usual trend that's happened in military forces for the last several thousand years at least, finding a country they thought was weaker and just invading it and stealing everything in it, enslaving the people. That's what humans have been doing for, as I say, at least several thousand years, starting before our recorded history. And I just thought it would be good to change that pattern. You know, you can let me know if you think there's anything wrong with that idea, but I think it would be really good. I'm not trying to be naive in particular, but I think we assume things are impossible, and they may not be. So don't, you know, catch yourself if you're just saying such and such can't be done, or I can't do whatever it is. Those are preconceptions, and they need to be questioned. Anyway, military forces are for defensive purposes, and whether it's military or police or sheriffs or anybody like that, if they're fulfilling their actual purpose that they were set up for, they should have been set up for, and they won't participate in anything else, that would make a big change in the world. And I talked about Oath Keepers. As usual, I've written down, you know, too many points to get into fully, so I'm skipping over and hitting the high points here because we're already a third of the way done, and I've got four more to get into. I didn't quite mention that in America they have something called the Bill of Rights, and it's a specific enumeration of rights that some of the founders were worried wouldn't be protected if they weren't specifically named, like freedom of speech, which the meaning of that is being completely forgotten worldwide, intentionally, not just because people all of a sudden started to forget it by chance. It's because the rulers want it gone, because their agenda is destruction. I'm talking about global rulers that are not loyal to any particular country. They have a plan for global destruction. In my analysis and view that I've come to after many decades of looking at it, I don't think there's anything else that really explains where they're going, because they're clearly doing irrevocable things to the life support systems of the planet that are geared to wiping out life irrevocably. That's not just a military strategy to take over the other countries. That's a suicide mission. And we got into in detail why that is. But in any case, the Declaration of Independence of the American country says that you have all the same rights no matter where you live. Even if you live in a total tyranny, even worse than, you know, most of the countries in the world, and nothing is recognized, you actually still do have the same rights, because they don't come from the government or the UN or any, you know, authoritarian structure like that. So your strategy might have to be different if you're, you know, there's no point in asserting your right and just getting yourself killed right away. So you might have to make a careful plan. But just to know that, because, you know, if the government says you're not allowed to live the way you want to, that's not really true. It's just what they intend to force on you. So I think, you know, there's got to be some kind of rise in consciousness to really understand how those things are to be applied, because you can't just write a group of rules and figure that will cover every situation. For example, a war to defend the country is necessary, or if you can't do anything by negotiation, and it doesn't matter whether the invader calls themselves an invading army or millions and millions and millions of so-called refugees that want to come in illegally under UN direction. It's an invasion regardless, because if you take away the titles, you'll see that it's exactly the same. The latter is with a little bit less firepower, but it's just as destructive. So the military is supposed to be protecting every country from all forms of invasion. And that's plenty of work for them to do. They don't need to go invading places. So if the government goes crazy and tells them to just illegally invade other countries like the U.S. and other countries have been doing for a long time, all that has to happen is the people in those forces just say, no, it's illegal to obey that kind of an immoral, in the U.S., unconstitutional order. So try to come up with an order that's right, like protecting your borders, and that one we will obey. And that's what Oath Keepers are about. Okay, we'll skip over that. Told you about what if they gave a war and nobody came. There's an example of the law enforcement situation happening right now in the U.S. in the state of Virginia that you may have heard about, that in the Bill of Rights of the Constitution of the United States, it protects the right to what they call keep and bear arms, which is self-defense and offer a deterrent to an out-of-control tyrannical government, and also protect people against private groups and gangs and invaders and criminals and things like that. And the governor of Virginia, Northam, who's the same guy that said, well, since abortion during the term of pregnancy is fine and you guys don't see anything wrong with killing a baby if it's not breathing air yet, which is an interesting thing to look at, let's do it after birth too, because, you know, the baby's not really alive until the mother says, well, yeah, I guess I'll keep it. And this is a coordinated plan that's being promoted on Netflix and other places like that. But it's really focused in Virginia right now as a test case. And they said, well, you know, we have too much violence, so I think we'll disarm all the citizens. And the governor is serious about doing that. People who live all over Virginia in the various counties have declared almost all the counties as Second Amendment sanctuary counties. So there's this clash building between the governor, who thinks he's going to be backed up by the National Guard, and the people in the counties. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It, you know, it'd be good to have a peaceful resolution to that instead of the clash that's building up, because if they get it to work by force in Virginia, they'll try it in all the other states. And the only countries that haven't been successful in totally disarming all their citizens so they can't protect themselves, the ones that haven't done that yet, are the United States and Switzerland. I don't know of any others. I would like there to be others, but I don't think there are. So the application of that group number five that could help save the world, the law enforcement officers and the National Guard people and everybody in Virginia, if they remember that, yeah, there is this thing called the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and the Federalist Papers and the other founding documents of the country, make it really clear that, you know, like in free speech, you have to be, like, free speech is not conditional. If you're expressing a point of view that nobody likes, you have to be totally free to do that. That's why the big social media platforms and big tech are acting criminally against all of us right now, because they're engaged in censorship, selected by a political point of view and things like that. That is really not anything that should be, not only in America, but anywhere on the planet right now, because it works against the future of people in favor of these crazy rulers who want to destroy everything. And it's the same with the Second Amendment, the ability to defend yourself and defend others and responsibly carry and own firearms is absolutely essential for the survival of any, not only any free country, but even a city, you know, where the larger cities in America and elsewhere where people are disarmed, the violent crime is much higher than where they're not, because the violent criminals aren't that, they're dumb in the sense that they think it's a good idea to be a violent criminal. That's another story, but they're not dumb in strategy, and they think, let's see, should I try to go mug somebody where people are armed or where they're unarmed? Wait, let me think. It's really hard to figure it out. Oh yeah, where people are unarmed. So all of these school shootings and everything that happen, they're in gun-free zones. And the people trying to enforce disarmament don't understand that. So it's really needed to have all of the National Guard people and the military, the local law enforcement, the sheriffs, the police, and everybody to understand they have the sacred responsibility not to misuse their power. And if they get unconstitutional orders or orders in any country saying to massacre people or do things that are unethical or immoral no matter what the law says, they have to say, no thanks, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to become a thief or a murderer because of I'm ordered to. You know, like the people in 1930s and 40s Germany said, we were just following orders. That's whatever the law says, that should be irrelevant. You can't do that. So that could be a long discussion by itself, obviously, and there are places discussing it. Oath Keepers is a good one to start at, oathkeepers.org. Number four, I'm going to try to get through the second half at least. State legislators, governors, congresspeople, heads of government agencies, even people that are managers and workers in these places and government agencies and stuff, all the people in those positions have the same responsibility and the same standard that they should be living up to as the law enforcement people and the military. And some are trying to do that and putting ethics that they have above party affiliation, above illegal orders that they're getting to carry out against the people and against above their own fear. And some of them have become official whistleblowers. Now, contrary to public opinion that's trying to be built based on what the crazy people in Congress are doing, whistleblowers are not just people that make something up. That is not a whistleblower. Shouldn't be having to say that, but, you know, I'm not partisan at all, but people in the Democratic Party in this impeachment scam have been going with the idea that whistleblowing is anything you want to make up about somebody to get rid of them. That's not really a whistleblower. Oh, geez. And I mean, some of these things should be really obvious. And the fact that anybody falls for this kind of crazy stuff that's coming out of some of the politicians in America, you know, they have a serious awareness problem. And that's why you start by working on yourself and if you want to help with any of these things. Anyway, getting on to number three group, and I would say the central bankers in any country are in a position to do fantastic good, not because they have any real money to lend anybody, but to expose the fraud that they've been involved in since the central banks in each country were started. And in America, that happened in 1913, at least the current version of the central bank. There were others before it that Jackson and other people fought against. But the current one started in 1913. Total scam. It's a brilliant, the huge theft plan, basically. They siphon the wealth out of a country. And all of these central banks, they're not independent. They work under the coordinated supervision of the Bank of International Settlements in Switzerland. See, one of the things that people have as a difficulty in understanding any of these issues is that we've been trained all our lives, especially the people who have been subject to television and to some degree radio before that, newspapers and things, but it's much more coordinated attack now. We've been taught to believe and trust authority figures. So anything that the authority, like a television commentator or something, looking authoritative and condescending and saying, yes, this is my studied analysis, you know, and they're just reading off a teleprompter. And people believe what they say. And so they say this incredible nonsense. And one of the scams that's been perpetrated, relying on that fact that people believe in authorities, is the central banks and the fractional reserve banking in every country. It's a long subject, but if you want to understand it, which almost, you know, everybody thinks that economics and banking are too hard to understand, that's not true at all. They're obscured and they're made complex so that you'll give up on the idea of even trying to understand them. But everything is simple if you break it down into its actual parts. And there's a great book on the central bank in America, which has the euphemistic name of called Federal Reserve. I say that euphemistic because it's not federal. It doesn't bring any reserves of anything into play in its system. It just steals the wealth of the country. That's its main function. But it does it in a very sophisticated way, like the central bank of every other country does, Russia and China and now Libya. And I mean, every Libya didn't have one. That's why the U.S. military was used to destroy the country so they could put another one in, among other reasons. But the people need to understand the scams that are being used against us. And then we get into the next step of, all right, what do you do to fix the situation? And most people, if they even know about it, most people don't even know about it. They're so busy trying to survive in the world now, partly because of what the central banks have done, you know, because of the money stress that every country, essentially every major country that I know of, is very rich. And people say, oh, this is a really poor country, you know, all these people are starving. Yeah, people may be starving, but it's not because the country isn't rich. It's because whatever wealth it has is not going to the people who work for it. It's going to the people who have these complex systems of theft. And I don't mean successful business people. We're told to hate them. That's a big, you know, distraction, and it's not based on truth at all. The people stealing it are the central bankers, and at the community level, the banks that are allowed to engage in fractional reserve banking are a part of the issue as well. Not the people who work there. They're great people. Don't blame any of them. It's the system itself created from a much higher level. But fractional reserve banking is amazing. And again, people don't take the time to ever try to understand it. But what they think, if they even know about it, they think, like, if the bank has $100, then it can only lend out $50 because it's got to keep 50 for in case anybody wants to withdraw money, something like that, which is, you know, somewhat based on reason. But no, that's not what fractional reserve banking is. It's if the bank has $100, they can lend out $3,000. Where do they get that? Well, they just make an entry in the computer that says, we're lending you $3,000, and they get your promissory note, put that in the vault as an asset, and they've just balanced out their books. It's total criminal fraud, but it's an entrenched system, so very few people ever question it, and that's one of the reasons that everybody's struggling so hard for survival, because the huge wealth of the country is not there to be accessed through private enterprise and free market capitalism, which is not what we have in the U.S. right now. It's a really good system. It means you're free to make money in any honest way that you want with the proviso, or should be the proviso, the caveat that you don't make your money by setting up a business that, you know, destroys other people or, you know, misrepresents what you're doing, stuff like that. Honest mistakes are one thing, but companies are set up to monetize things like GMOs. The so-called health industry in the Western world is a complete disgrace, other than the emergency and trauma care and, you know, the few necessary surgeries that exist. The rest of it, based on health, is all saying that it's for health, and it's killing huge numbers of people. Most of the kids, even in the U.S. now, who used to be healthy, most of them have chronic diseases. So that's a separate issue, and we talked about that last week. But the central bankers in every country are mainly in charge of siphoning off the wealth so that everybody else is struggling. It doesn't mean that you go and fight them. It means there are other ways to turn this around, which we'll talk about also. Lending money you don't have gives you an infinite profit margin, and that's the way that central banks work. And that also ends them up in positions where they control governments, because the money is lent out, non-existent money is lent out at interest, and there's not even enough money existing in the system to pay that back. So the governments go into more and more debt. And then the assets of the country eventually belong to the central bank. The World Bank's involved in the same thing. And the Bank of International Settlements is overseeing the crimes of all the central banks as if it were legitimate. And it can't be audited. It can't be questioned. It's above the law in every country. The members of it can fly around with no inspection of what they're carrying with them. You can see a lot of this stuff in The Creature from Jekyll Island, a book by G. Edward Griffin, who's been on the Sunday show before. And that's worth looking at if you want to understand more about it. The other way that the wealth is stolen is that now that there's no backing behind the money, no gold or silver, and the money is just paper or computer entries with not even paper, then as they print out more and more and more of it, the value, the amount of things to buy stays the same. The amount of money goes up. So the value in actual buying power of each unit of currency, like a dollar or a pound or a yen or whatever, goes down proportionally. And so it takes more and more and more money to buy the same thing. That's called inflation, as if it were a normal occurrence. And it never was. It's a manufactured occurrence. And it moves the wealth away from the people that earn it toward the owners of the banking system. And I'm not saying to be against the bankers at all. This is just the system itself is completely suicidal for any country, and it's in every country right now. So with inflation, the people end up working a lot harder for a lot less return, and they either are struggling for survival, which puts the kids into the hands of the government because they don't have time to stay home with their kids. And at least one parent is supposed to do that to raise the kids, and most people can't do that anymore. And so the government indoctrination starts, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years old, and it compounds the system, and it compounds the problem. And it's a very sophisticated system of indoctrination and enslavement, but it doesn't end at enslavement or population reduction even. It ends in complete extermination of life on the planet. And we're looking at ways to turn that around right now. Okay, I told you what the local banks are doing. The local banking people are great. They're just doing what the computers tell them to do. Most of the local bank people are actually really nice people just trying to do their job. Very few, if any, understand how the system is really working. And it's the same for people that just can't make it and go on conditioned welfare. They have to sign up for certain agreements and have various forced medical treatments and things that are not good for them. So they get in a trap also. If you imagine what would happen if a flood of whistleblowers at the higher levels of the banking industry decided to expose the fraud that was going on, that would have a real positive shaking up influence on any country that happened in. And we've talked to some of those at the higher levels, that people like Ronald Bernard, who got into the international banking at fairly high levels and was shown that at the top, it's not about money. The money is used to control the people on lower levels. But at the top levels, they've got access to unlimited money anyway. And it's about things that people wouldn't believe are going on there. And he got invited to some of the events of the higher level bankers that involved doing some very bad things to kids, satanic rituals and things like that, that involve killing people. And he said he didn't really want to do that. And he was lucky to get out alive. We hope to have him on the show in person before too long. That's a big issue as well. That number two that I had wanted to get into and I didn't get to last time, people within the geoengineering programs and the chemtrail pilots and their bosses. And I know some of the groups trying to get geoengineering stopped don't want to call them chemtrail anything because they won't sound as impressive to convince the so-called scientists. But and that's fine if that's the way they want to go. But my feeling about it, what I'm observing, is if those scientists could have been convinced, they're smart enough to know within about, you know, 10 minutes of reviewing the data what's going on, and they've chosen not to. So those aren't scientists. Those are mouthpieces to deceive the public. And for myself, I may be considered not respectful enough for, you know, the right terms, but I'll call them chemtrails because they're trails of chemical garbage being dumped in the atmosphere, toxic metals and bioweapons, many things that have nothing to do with weather control, cross-domain bacteria, things like that. That's a pretty serious issue for the planet. It's being done worldwide right now. It really got noticeably widespread in about 92. And I would agree that It's being used to really destabilize the weather, not to make it seem normal, but to make it as abnormal as possible. Is the weather purpose? It's not trying to cover up problems. It's trying to make problems worse, and it's successful. I see it as a completely successful program. There are new cloud types that didn't exist before. There are changes in the jet stream so that you get these big loops coming down from the Arctic. In America, that, you know, temperatures that should be in northern Canada come into the southern part of the U.S. and things like that. And they use that to prove climate change and global warming, which may be true anyway, but to make it more dire and more worthy of panic so that people will do two things: call for more geoengineering, and which they're ready to oblige right away, and also give up any remaining freedoms and go into supranational organizations like were suggested in the Paris Climate Accord, another total scam in my opinion, and give up national sovereignty and eventually fix the population problem by exterminating humans, which I don't think that's a very good plan. So what I'm saying about the people in anywhere in that industry, the pilots, the geoengineers, their bosses, we need them to become whistleblowers. And I don't know of any that have so far. I mean, we know of Kristen Megan and some people like that out of the Air Force, but we need pilots. We need people that are flying the geoengineering airplanes to say, wait a minute, you know, to the nightly news people, this really is going on. It's not even, see, they on the news they tell you it's not happening, and they say, well, we might have to do it, and maybe we're doing it on a test level, but it's not happening, and it's a conspiracy theory, and you're crazy. And so you're just supposed to, you know, this is supposed to burn up your logic process in your brain. You may not see visible smoke coming out of your ears or anything, but it's supposed to be so confusing because you're told opposites at the same time. The result, according to the psychologists that plan it, is that you're supposed to stop trying to figure it out. But there's no reason you should stop trying to figure it out, because it's really obvious. As you know, there's a lot of great information at geoengineeringwatch.org, Dane's site, and also on Russ's site at globalskywatch.com. Those are good places of information. And there's globalskywatch.com has links to sites working to stop geoengineering all over the world. It's a really good resource. And between the two, in one day, anybody that wants to can understand a lot of the issue, enough to know that it should stop like the same day. And the way to stop it, in a normal world, well, in a normal world, it would never have started, right? But the way to stop it is to use the military for a legitimate function. They don't even have to shoot down these airplanes. They just go up and escort them to the ground, because they're just unarmed large jets for the most part, and arrest the pilots and get the pilots to tell them who the bosses are in exchange for a few less life sentences for what they're doing. And if the news won't report it because they're in on the whole thing, the major media is as criminal as the geoengineers because they go along with it and hide it, then get the big private news sources to put it out so that the whole public knows about it. And a big step toward that would be real whistleblowers, especially pilots and the people that direct the pilots. Those are one of the most secret groups anywhere, and they must have such massive threats and maybe blackmail. Maybe they only hire pilots who can be blackmailed, which is one of the reasons they need the child trafficking business. And they're upset that the current president is cracking down on that. But they need whistleblowers to somehow break that code of silence and come out and explain what they're doing. And of course, the criminal media that we have in the U.S. and most of the world will say, these are crazy people, you know, and they'll bring up a bunch of women who say they raped them and whatever they can do to discredit them. But hopefully the public, you know, that's not too drugged out at the moment, will be able to understand this is really serious. It's not just the weather. Yeah, they're destabilizing the weather so that you'll be terrified and give up your rights to save the earth. But it's much more than that. When you dump explosive powdered metals on the forest for years, like they have in California, you can make unusual fires that melt metal and glass. And normal forest fires and house fires don't do that. So this is what geoengineering is doing. And I don't see anything wrong with the referring to it as climate engineering, other than the fact that people who do that sometimes think that's the only important thing it's doing. No, there's just as important things that it's doing by poisoning the entire biosphere, and that even if the weather issue were solved, life on Earth would die. That's really, really important. So, you know, this information's available, and people within the industry need to talk about it openly. The problem is they're probably told that everybody they ever knew or were related to will die if they decide to talk about it. And that could be an incentive not to say anything, especially if you're really well paid to be quiet as well, the carrot and the stick together. So I understand why none of them are doing that right now. I'm sure they're extremely well compensated, and they may also be psychologically brainwashed to be told they're doing it to save the world. That's really a possibility. They may get rid of people right away who know about the poisoning, and choose only pilots who think that they're fighting against our mortal enemy, the sun, because somehow nature went crazy and the sun's going to burn up the earth. You know, as if flying would permanently stop that, which it wouldn't, the spraying, I mean. So it's possible that they try to select for pilots that believe it's such a wonderful project, it just has to be kept secret from all the people because they wouldn't even understand. But you're high-level military, you know, so you do understand, and we're letting you know. So make sure you don't tell anybody, and just do your job, save the world, spray all these wonderful materials. They don't focus on the toxic aspect of them, and it's going to reflect the sun. And that's being successful, by the way. The last I heard, I think, was from Geoengineering Watch site, was that 22 or 23% of the sun is being blocked. And the thing about the sunlight is it's really important to have it, and it was designed very well. Not only the plants need it, but the humans need it, which is why the government agents, the health agencies are saying the sun is really evil. There's no safe amount of sunlight. It's just radiation. Radiation is bad. Unless it's medical radiation, then it's good. And that, you know, wear long sleeve shirts, wear hats, wear sunglasses so you never get it in your eyes. I mean, obviously, organisms on Earth weren't designed to ever see any sunlight, right, in their eye. Oh, wait, that's completely insane. But they're trying to get everybody to believe that. And they're telling them that staying away from sunlight will save you from skin cancer and all these other diseases. And people actually believe it because of this training that we've had to worship authorities and not even imagine that the authorities and the government agencies and the respected giant corporations would ever mislead you or would ever do anything that wasn't in your best interest. And it's just too inconceivable of a possibility for most of us that all of those groups be working specifically for our destruction, but they could be in collusion to do that worldwide, not only for any given country. That's just too scary for most people. And what they don't understand, well, there's a lot we don't understand on purpose. That's why the educational system is there, to make sure we don't understand anything. But one of the things we don't understand is that fear is not required. You know, in other words, it's a really basic idea in psychology that if A happens, you have to feel B. So if this scary thing comes out, well, it's not even a scary, that's not the way to explain it. If this particular thing happens and you see it, you're supposed to be scared. Well, what if you don't didn't get the memo that you have to be scared, which is our conditioning for a whole life, and you just look at it and say, oh, that's a certain thing. I don't particularly want it to kill me, so what are my options? These are the things I can do. But it doesn't help you to be scared or panicked about it at all. It doesn't even help you to be overcome with, you know, incredible anger. All that does is skew your perception and your choice of what to do in response. So the language is used against us all the time in the same context. In other words, you're taught that a thing is scary. But a thing is not scary. A thing is just a thing. If a person responds by being scared of it, then they say the thing is scary. If another person is not scared of it, then it doesn't mean anything to call that thing that happened scary. This is a really deep concept that can give you massive power in your life that you're not supposed to know about. So you're just told to memorize, this is scary, this is scary, this is scary. Like, you know, geoengineering is working to destroy, not just destabilize the weather, which it is successfully doing, but poison and destroy life on the planet. You're supposed to be overcome with fear and anger. And so you get into a frequency. This is another big issue, but you get into a frequency and energy of interaction with people that ends up with groups fighting with each other and everybody being super mad and frustrated. That doesn't make you stronger. That there's a great newscaster that's been on the air for 25 years in one form or another. I can't mention his name now or will definitely disappear the same day. But one of his misconceptions is that the more mad you are, the better it's going to be, and the faster we can solve the problem. You know, the mad as hell and not going to take it anymore thing. I'm sure you've heard of it. And if you're mad as hell, you're partially living in that hell that you're creating, and that doesn't make you stronger, doesn't make you more focused. I think the main priority of the power structure is to make sure we stay compromised in our abilities and fighting with each other as much as possible. So even within the groups that are doing things like, you know, fighting against geoengineering, there's this real serious contention and hatred and misunderstanding between the groups, and it takes them off point because the part of the objective becomes show that the other group is all fools and idiots and wrong, instead of the point being, you know, stop the spraying in this case, or stop the GMOs, or stop the 5G or whatever. So anyway, to my knowledge, no pilot whistleblowers have emerged so far, but they could do a great service for the world. And if any of you guys hear this that are employed as flying the jets that spray, do your homework. Your bosses haven't told you what it's for, because I don't believe you're all in on the destruction of life. Do your homework. There are sources that you can use to do that. Find out what you're involved in, and then decide what you want to do. Is the money the top issue? I understand it's a big issue because you want to take care of your family. But is it that, or do you want to look back on your life when you finish it, which will be feel like in a few minutes, even if it's many years, and say, yeah, I really did something valuable for the world. You could be one of the types of people that helped save the world. And number one group, and we're almost out of time here, is the most important, and it's the most powerful to really give us the best chance to turn this agenda of destruction around and save everybody from the future that our rulers are planning. And those who serve them in the entire power structure are not being very intelligent. And so if you're in the agencies that are involved in the censorship, or, you know, the financial enslavement and various things like that, you're short-sighted. You know, I'm not saying you're bad. I don't believe anybody's bad at the core. They're just covered with massive programming, some of which is really nasty. The reason number one is the most important type of people that could help save the planet from this stuff is, and when I say save the planet, I mean for real. I don't mean the nonsense about the Green New Deal and things like that, and austerity and trying to use no energy. And by the way, don't exhale because evil CO2 comes out of your mouth. You know, God made a big mistake with that. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about for real against the threat, which is the agenda of global destruction. So the reason it's important is because number 2 to 10 on the list could be ignored by the rulers. You know, all the people I've recently been in touch with who are fighting the 5G rollout, which is a good thing to try to stop because it's a weapon system, as Mark Steele and Barry Troer and other guests on the Sunday show have explained in great detail. And those archives are available free anytime that you guys want to learn about what's involved in 5G. Along with the websites like Scientists for Wiretech and things like that. But if the rulers are confident, which they appear to be in their advanced weapons and other things that they're going to use against the people at the right time, they may ignore number 2 through 10. And even in the case of whistleblowers, there's no guarantee that they would change course because they're really devoted to it. And like Obi-Wan Kenobi told Luke in the one of the original Star Wars, I think it was the first one maybe, of the original trilogy, and he said, well, yeah, we may not win by force, but there's other ways to win this battle, and that's true in our case too. I'm just looking over everything else that we've got here and see what to skip. The one tool or the one thing that the rulers can't overcome because there's no defense against it, and it's the one that they absolutely don't want us to ever discover, because obviously it would end the whole game, even though in the end it would be good for them as well, because people who use this tool don't want to fight the rulers other than in self-defense in necessary situations. If they come to do bad things to you, you know, you have to defend people, yourself and others. But other than that, the people who know about this tool don't have any ill will toward the rulers. It's called consciousness, and it's the biggest subject there is, and it's behind everything. And I'm not talking about awareness of the list of everything bad happening in the world. I'm talking about self-awareness on an experiential level that's much deeper than almost anybody remembers. And that's what they never want us to find out. Yeah, they don't want you to know that 5G is bad and that geoengineering is a kill program or any of this stuff, or that chemical agriculture is insane and causing all the medical issues that we have, or a lot of them. That's true. They don't want you to know about that. But what they really don't want you to know, and it sounds trite because I don't know a better language to use for it, they don't want us to know who we are. That's number one, without question. They don't want us to understand the difference between the actor and the character, because the character that we're playing is based on conditioning. The Matrix idea is real. Not exactly like the movie, but that kind of idea. And the idea is that we're playing a character that's defined by our programming and assuming that's our actual self. It never was. It's got its own thoughts and emotions and everything. They're all projected based on nothing except programs. Who we are is something amazing. Getting in touch with that would end this whole issue with the global rulers. And it would help them too, because who they really are, they don't even know. They're not evil at the core. They're made out of spirit like we are. And if you wake up, you have an effect on everybody else, and there are ways to do that. So what I'm saying, since we're out of time and over a minute, there could be a happy ending to all this. As bad as it is, and I've really looked at that in a lot of detail for a long time, there are ways to do it. The regular projects, you could still be, you know, fighting geoengineering or nuclear power or whatever you want to do, but this kind of work with consciousness not only helps fix your body, so you don't have to be bothered with all the usual aging and degenerative disease and, you know, infectious disease problems and stuff like that. There are ways to eliminate all those. But it makes you more effective in whatever outer work that you're doing, which is very valuable. So this is all work that's internal, but it affects everything on the outside. So the question is if enough of us are willing to do that, and I don't know the answer. So we're going to find out, though. That's what we're working on in Planetary Healing Club. And if anybody's interested in that and ready to, it's not an entertainment deal. If you're willing to do the work, check out planetaryhealingclub.com. And if you want to support our work, we have a Subscribestar page, subscribestar.com/LostArtsRadio. And Planetary Healing Club has small dues that go to the nonprofit that keeps us all going as well. So that's helpful. And then I do a few private sessions that go to support the same nonprofit as well, if you're interested in that. Remember to get on the mailing list, like I said, and subscribe to us on Brighteon right away before you forget. And the Sunday show, we're continuing our series with Joel Skousen on history of the deep state. I think you'd find that really valuable if it's a subject that you're interested in. So anyway, sorry for going over time, a couple minutes. I really appreciate your giving us a little of your time. Hope you're having a great weekend. Sunday show tomorrow with Joel and Planetary Healing Club in 26 minutes. Anybody that still wants to get in on that, planetaryhealingclub.com. And otherwise, have a great week, and I will see you next time.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/LostArtsRadio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribestar levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest new selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. visit brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.